I say that?
It's me.
It's you. Okay, so we're trying to understand Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We left off with the problem with the Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. But we mentioned that it's strange how we're learning a lot of these accidental elements from the Mishkan. Just the whole study of deriving it from the Mishkan is difficult to define exactly what we're doing. So we thought we'll take up the question in Tzadi Ches Amin Aleph in Shabbos about whether Rosh Hashanah Rabbim can have a roof over it or not. Okay, let's try to get all the facts. Because the question of 600,000 is just a particular. It's a particular of do you learn this element from Mishkan? But maybe if we see the other things that we learn from Mishkan, we'll be able to define a little better. Is it essential? Yeah, but it's learned from Mishkan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it really comes from, it seems, like I think we mentioned it the other day, that there are two types of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? We have to think if we can unify them. But it does seem there are two types. There's like the Shuk, right? The Platya, the place where they're gathered. And then there's the Thoroughfare. Okay, so obviously they're both types of Tashrish of the Rabbim, but where do we learn them out from? So, right, in Hazorek, the Gemara says, there's questions about the Girsa here, but the Gemara says that where do you learn Hotzah from? Right, so it says, Vaitzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol Bamachane. That he said not to bring anymore. Right? And Moshe Hechan Hava Yosef, where was Moshe sitting? Bamachane Levia. Bamachane Levia, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Avoy. Vikomalu Yisrael, Lo Sakifu, Vitisu, Mir Rosh Hashanah Yochid Ditchu, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Yeah. So, Machna Levia was a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why? So Rashi says, "Shehayu Hakol Mitzuyin Eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu." So it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because that's like a gathering place, it would seem, right? Everybody was there. It's like the Shuk. Everybody was there. It was open access to gather before Moshe Rabbeinu. And it doesn't tell you much about it over there. But and then the second case, it seems we're getting from the derech of the derech seems to come from the agalos, right? The wagons were the derech, and that's what the Gemara learns later on Tzadi Tes, the shear of 16 amos is because of the derech. That had to the derech that was necessary for the traveling of the agalos, right? Okay, so the Gemara takes up a question over here. It says, can a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim have a roof over it or not? Can it be a covered highway? Okay, so Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Hamavir dal amos birushus harabim mekura potter. Okay, so if you carry dal amos in a rishus harabim that's covered, mechusa, Rashi says, then you're potter. Why? Lefisha eino doma ledigle midbar. It's not similar to the digle midbar. Okay, so again. That seems like a. Why do they choose to pick that? I mean, how do they derive that? I mean, even if they didn't have roofs, so who's to say that a roof is anything? Who's to say that a roof is something that you have to not have, right? And where would this roof be? It could be high. It could be very high. Right? Even though Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim, it's not talking about a roof that's within 10 Tfachim. You wouldn't be able to walk. Right? And, it's a high roof. It doesn't really explain. It doesn't really say where that roof would be. What? Okay, so now the Gemara goes into a very interesting discussion about how do we know that the Rishus HaRabim of the Midbar, of Digli Midbar, was not roofed, was not covered. Okay? So what does the Gemara say? It says it's not true. The Agalos were covered. The Agalos were covered. V'Agalos de Mishkan, they had a covering on them. Now, how did they have a covering on them? Doesn't mean it's not a covered wagon. It's not like in the Wild West. It means, although they came with a covering when they were donated, but apparently they were modified. So Rashi goes on to explain, the Gemara goes on to explain, that what were the wagons used for? What were the wagons used for? No? Transporting the boards. How many boards were there to transport? 48. Good. How many wagons were there?
Four.
So how many boards per wagon?
12.
Okay. So each wagon had 12 boards. Right? Each wagon had 12 boards. And the Gemara was saying that when the boards would be loaded onto the wagons, it would cause a covering over the road. How are the boards aligned? Which direction? They were what?
Widthwise,
right? They were perpendicular with the direction of the travel. Okay, so if you took boards and you cut and you put them down over the wagons, then what? Then it would cause, they would hang over the sides. And what? It would cool. How long is each board?
10 amos.
So it would certainly cover the whole Rosh Hashanah. The whole Rosh Hashanah would be covered. Mm-hmm. Well, the Rosh Hashanah, some questions about how the machlokes and the Rishonim, how the wagons were aligned exactly. But it would cover at least rove of the Rosh Hashanah, right? Okay. So the Gemara tries to figure it out. Gemara goes through different possibilities. How is it possible that the boards are there, and yet, what? And yet we're still saying Rosh HaRabim has no covering. Yeah. So Gemara gives one answer. The first answer is what? That there was space between the boards. There was space between the boards, larger than 3 tefachim. Or at least 3 tefachim, right? It's at least 3 tefachim between each row of boards. Yeah, but and that satisfies the Gemara. It's strange. It's just a strange. The whole thing is just so strange. I mean, but most of it is still covered, right? Now you still have the width of each board is still a full amma. Amma and a half, right? An amma and a half. So, yeah.
So nobody
would say that you have to have, in order to be Rosh HaRabim, it has to have alternating roof and space. That's how it was in Digli Midbar. That's how Digli Midbar was. It had an amma and a half of covering and 3 tefachim of space.
That was just no roof.
No, but it's Oled. I mean, the amma and a half counts.
You're just saying, why didn't they do the other side of it also?
Yeah, but yeah, it's like strange.
It said no roof. It said we're talking about roof or no roof. How's a roof made when you have a continuous?
How do you know that? Right.
So that's
another side to it. You know?
Right. But, okay, good. It's a good point. I'm just trying to show you. You have to conceptualize what's going on over here. You can't just say we're going to mimic exactly the configuration of Digle Midbar.
Yeah, we're mimicking configuration of Midbar in terms of things that we know.
Sir? I love it. How long is the wagon? How long is the wagon? The wagon was 5 amos long. Okay, the wagon was 5 amos long. Okay, each board in its, we'll call it width, okay, was 1.5, right? So let's say you did 2 and 2, right? So that's 3 amos, right? That's 3 amos. That's most of the 5 amos is covered, right? Most of the 5 amos is still covered. I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's almud is a merubah all parts. I mean, it's more substance than not. It's not like there's no halacha category over here. There is more substance than not. Right. Okay, but the point is, we're not just going to copy. We're not going to say the Rishus HaRabim is the length of the agala, right? Whatever that means, and it has to be exactly like that, right? I'm certainly not saying that. Okay, so then the Gemara goes on and says, that what? Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, the Gemara says, that's enough to satisfy the Gemara on tachtein uveinein utzidein, right? That when Rava said that, he meant in between those spaces. It's just a funny statement, right? Because it seems like the other parts of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, those parts of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim do have a roof. But Rava wasn't talking about those parts. It's not clear from the Gemara if those parts would be considered, I mean... The Gemara says, when the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a question, how could you say, Yemaiva Dalad Amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in a Mekura's Potter? Because it's not like the Digley Midbar, but the Agolos had roofs. They created coverings. And Rav said that all around and underneath the wagons were Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Gemara says, no, when Rav said that, he meant in the spaces in between the boards. But that itself concedes that the other places were covered, were Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that were, that was covered.
But
right?
We have to conclude that because we have a steel rod.
I know, but it's just a strange, it becomes a very strange thing. It's not saying that there was no covered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the Midbar. There was covered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the Midbar. It's just when Rav said all the areas around the wagons and underneath them were Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he was talking about the places in between the boards. Right? So there was, but there was, it's not like he's saying we disregard the entire boards on top and we consider the whole thing to be uncovered. Yeah. Then he would have been referring to everything. But he wasn't referring to everything. He was just referring to certain strips, minimal strips of the phenomenon of the agalos. Okay. I jumped ahead. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. The Gemara says it can't work out because of Lovin. I gave the second answer first. Okay. I didn't tell you to do the second answer, right? You didn't see that second answer yet. I'm sorry. So, all right. I confused you. Yeah. I gave the Gemara a second answer. I'm sorry. After the triangles. I'm sorry. The Gemara first says it's not possible because you have 4 boards, right? And you're gonna have it's gonna be covered with lovin, right? So the Gemara gives us funny, huh? You have 3 boards. Where's the 4th board gonna go? Rashi doesn't say.
The 4 boards when they put them up with the house, when there's more room.
You can't put 4 boards.
Right. Okay. So the first Gemara goes through says there's only 5 wide. The most you can fit on the space of 5 is 3, since each one is an arm and a half. Arm and a half times 3 is what? 4.5. So then you're going to have a problem of Lovin. Okay, so then the Gemara says, what? It says, no, it's not a problem. Why? Because this is according to the sheet that it holds, that the boards were narrower on one end than on the other end. That they started out as what?
Of
your Amma. Right. So the Gemara says that's good according to the sheet of the holes that this is the breadth I guess you would call it, that the breadth is an amma at the bottom, right? And but it tapers to an etzba at the top, so then it would turn out that you can put 4 now on their edge. You're going to put 4 on their edge, right? And 4 on their edge is 4 amos, right? And what? Is that right? They have 4 there? And what? And then, but at the other end, they taper to a very thin breadth. So it turns out that on the thick side you have a roof, and on the thin side you have no roof. Right? Right. In other words, the boards were 10 amos long and 1.5 amos wide, but they have a thickness. There's a dimension of thickness. The thickness is tapered. The thickness tapers to the top. So it's an amma in the thick in the bottom, and an etzba at the top. And now we're lying them on their thick side, on the thickness. So on one side, there's going to be a lot of space between the boards, and the other side they're going to be very close to each other. So on one side you're going to have lavud, and the other side you're going to have spaces. So one side will be roofed, and one side will be open.
You'll have half a roof.
You'll have half a roof. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have half a roof.
How do you have a roof on the side of the
fixed? Yeah, so okay, fine. All right, so Tosus asks, why didn't they stagger them?
Alternate
them. Yeah. Have a
thick, thin.
Right? You could fit more that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We could figure it out how many. He says you could fit more in there. So he says that because they wanted to do it in terms of making it easy for assembly and disassembly. So they would have to swing around to different sides of the wagon to load them up. Right. So, in other words, if you had triangles, right, and you put them all with the fat side, you're going to get a lot fewer than if you alternate them and put them fat and thin. Right? Okay. Anyway, so, but here's the important part. Tosus like this. Hanich lemandam. It says, V'im tomar minolon v'alfinon mimashe eino mikura. Here Tosus has a question that's so important and so basic. It should have its own Tosus, I think.
It should have what?
It should be its own Tosus. So he says, maybe it's like this. So now it turns out that we have what? We have part of the part of this 16 amos width, which is the road. It has a roof, has a full roof on it from the whole 5 amos in its depth, right? So you have half roofed and you have partially roofed and partially not roofed. So why, he says, do we learn from one and not from the other? Nelef, how come we learn mimasha eino mikura? Why don't we learn from what is mikura? V'yiyah maver dalet amos v'shus rabim mikura chayev. Why don't we say no? The v'shus rabim also had a roof too. So there's no. So you're going to be chayiv if you carry in an area that has a roof, because Shusha Rabbim did have a roof. It did have roof. Okay, so he gives two answers. Yesh lomar de min ha'avir yesh lanu lilmod. Makes more sense to learn from the air. Shedome yoser Shusha Rabbim. Strange thing. Now it's throwing everything back. Now it's throwing things on its head, saying. We should learn from the air because that's more like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But we're learning Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from Digvei Midbar. You know? No. And it's just confusing. Like, was that area under that roof a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for them or not? Was it or wasn't it? Right? Okay, let's go to the second. The second answer is just amazing. V'ri Omer, v'mehocha lo yofinim Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We don't learn Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from here at all. Even though this whole thing is Digley Midbar, and this is the case that the Gemara really explains at length, right? It just gives a passing reference to the Machane Levia. He says, really, we don't learn from here at all. Ela mi Machane Levia, kedam aleil. U'mehocha lo yofinim ela shir Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. David Vavama. All we're learning from here is Shir. So who cares if it has a roof on it? Right? Who cares if all we're learning is Shir? Umikomakom, I loved Tachtein, Ubeinein, Vitzidein, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But if there wasn't Rosh Hashanah Rabbim all around, Lo Havi Yalfinan Minayu, Shir Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We would never learn the Shir for Rosh Hashanah Rabbim if it didn't have a din of Rishus Rabbim in it. But we're not learning Rishus Rabbim here. Now, the Re says you can't just pick and choose, in other words. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, I'm just going to regard the Avir, and I'm going to disregard the Makura. You know, if you were learning Rishus Rabbim from here, you'd have a big problem. Because now you have Rishus Rabbim with two qualities. But he's saying, you're not learning what Rishus Rabbim is from here. You're really learning it from Machane Leviyah. The other thing is, Machane Leviyah doesn't, you don't know the Shir. There's no Shir by Machane Leviyah. So you have to learn the minimal Shir from here. And if this were completely different, you wouldn't be able to learn Shir from it. Yeah. Everything. Yeah, everything has a Shir of 16 Amma. Everything requires 16 Amma. So now it comes out, really, according to the Re, there's only one Rishus HaRabim. There's only one idea of Rishus HaRabim. Right? Now, it seems Rabbeinu Tam is learning, there's two, it would seem. There's the Machane Leviyah idea of Rishus HaRabim, and then there's the Derech idea of Rishus HaRabim. But I have to think about it. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Re, you're really only learning one concept, one thing. Because it's not learning from here. Now, according to the Re, it's not learning from here that if you carry in a Rishus HaRabim Makur Yapata. It's learning it from Machane Leviyah. You know, the only thing is, why is the Gemara so concerned about whether this area has a roof on it or not? Because the Gemara knows we use it to learn the width of the Rishus HaRabim. And if this were completely different from Rishus HaRabim, we'd never be able to use it to learn Shir. You understand? It's a very clever maneuver, saying when the Gemara says that Rav says you're potter if you carry Nishus Rav Makura, and then it says but the Agalos were covered, created a covering. It's not the question that it's not saying therefore since it's not saying and since we learn from the Agalos what Nishus Rabim is. If they're covered, then Rishus HaRabim has to be covered. Then Rishus HaRabim can be covered too. Mm-hmm. That's not what the Gemara's question is. The Gemara is saying, we know that Rishus HaRabim can't be covered from Machane Leviyah. Right? That's how we know. So what's the Gemara's question from the Agalos? It's a separate question, saying, and we also know that we learn Shir of Rishus HaRabim from the Shir of the Agalos, from the width of the Agalos. Right? And you can't learn, you wouldn't be able to learn the Shir of Rishus HaRabim from Agalos if Agalos were completely different from the phenomenon that we see in Machane Leviyah. So if you're going to tell me that roof is something that distinguishes a Rishus HaRabim from other things based on Machane Leviyah, then I wouldn't be able to go to the case of the Agalos and learn the Shir of Machane Leviyah. Because you'd be deriving it from a completely separate, a completely distinguished thing.
You're saying it could be somewhat different, or
seems so.
You mean because?
In other words, it would seem to me like it seems like this, that if you're learning the primary example, according to the Re, if you're learning this as the primary example, the paradigm. Then you can't just choose different accidental features that you want to consider and ones you want to ignore. Significant features like roof and no roof. You can't just pick and choose because this is teaching you the entire thing. Okay. Once we have Machane Leviyah, that tells us the character and the essential components. So now we can say, therefore, in the case of the Agalos, the fact that there is some roof is not going to. So now it comes out that it has to be non-roofed, right? Now apparently there has to be a question that now apparently there's a shear of what as long as now in terms of being a non-roofed area, the fact that some of it has a little roof apparently doesn't make a difference. Okay, so now we can go to the Derech, to the Agalos, and say that that we can consider it a Rishus HaRabim. Right? Apparently the only problem by the Agalos would be if the whole width had a if the width itself had a roof, then you wouldn't be able to learn the width from the agalos. But the fact that if you have a Rosh Hashanah Rabban that has a little bit of a small part of roof in the middle of it, that's not qualifying the makom as having a roof, right?
So we learn the fact that it can't be a Rosh Hashanah Rabban with a roof, just from the fact that the makom levia didn't have a roof.
Right. But if we were learning it from the agalos, then we'd have to take its roof, and we'd have to, and its roof would have to become part of the qualities. Yeah, but Rabbi Natan is saying if we're learning it from here, we have to look at all of the qualities here, and you find the Gemara is picking and choosing. How does it do that? According to the Agalos, yeah. I mean, another question is the whole 16 Amos thing. The 16 Amos itself. The Gemara goes through on Sadi test why you need 16 Amos. Because they needed 16 Amos. The 20 is the width of the board, but the boards are above 10 Tefachim. All right, so that's the Machlokas, the Rashi and the other Rishonim. Whether there were two boards across or not. Or one board. But whatever it is. It's a completely accidental thing. Because in the Midbar, they needed space of 16 Amos to transport their boards, that's what a Rosh Hashanah Rabban is? I mean, why is that even Ola? I can understand a roof. I can understand why you'll say a roof is an important question. Because like someone was saying before, the roof does have the quality of restriction. Right? No, it's... In halacha, you're only going to count qualities that are shayach to the category that we're dealing in. So we're dealing here with transportation and travel, and there's an idea that's contrary to transportation and travel, and that's a restriction, right? So the idea of a roof does seem to be irrelevant. Right, that category, that quality of roof is relevant. I can understand that, but the width of 16 amos, that's difficult. I mean, that's just because they happened to be carrying boards that were a certain size on wagons that were a certain size. It's hard to say that it's a different kind of a travel because of a 16 amo wide road or not.
There's a question on both.
Yeah. It's just a question in general. We're just throwing out a lot of... We're just putting everything up to question right now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the whole idea is difficult. It's not like a regular shear. It's not like I say, Kosev has a shear of two letters. Why? Because it's not productive unless it's... It's not a word unless it's two letters. Kosev is conveying a concept through letters, and then the minimal shear is... And the truth of the matter is, if it's one letter, there's an O, so there are a lot of... So it's a shear of the product. But over here, we really want to place it's a hilach of the rabbim. And if their boards were nine amos wide, then they would have had... We don't learn the shiurim from the mikdash. You know, we don't say oreg is two knots because they did a whole beged. Right? But it has to be the units of the productivity. Over here, these shiurim are different. It's hard to say that a 15 amma wide rishus is a qualitatively different thing than a 16 amma's wide rishus, right? And nobody says it has to be exactly 16 amma's wide, right? In other words, for instance, if their rishus rabbim had a roof, you certainly wouldn't say it has to have a roof, right? So these are only like, but that makes sense. But that I understand, because you'll say like this. You say, roof is an idea of restriction. So if it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabban with a restriction, it's certainly a Rosh Hashanah Rabban without this restriction. Right? No, you're certainly not going to mimic, it's certainly not just to mimic what they had. Right? Because we're only looking at the things they had in terms of how they affect Hiluch. Right? You have to understand, I'm just trying to give you this is the context of when we're looking. We're not looking to mimic. We're not looking to mimic what they did. We're looking to find how much of a quality of hiluch does it have to have. Right? So I'll say by the roof, if they had a roof, you wouldn't say you have to have a roof. right? Because if they had a roof, then it would mean that even this level of restriction is still considered unrestricted. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you certainly wouldn't say without the roof is a problem. Kal vachomer without the roof is a problem. Right? But if they had no roof, then having a roof would be a problem. Why? Because then you'll say, all we see from Mishkan is that no roof is considered unrestricted access. So to diminish that would be changing the quality of what they had.
Yeah.
Would be decreasing the quality of the trance of the hilah.
Have like an idea like congestion, you know?
But the 60 namas is harder. The 60 namas is harder. I mean, it's true. It's true. You can still say that the wider you go, the more hilach you can fit. Mm. But it just seems like it's derived from, not because that was a heavier hilach. It was just a totally accidental feature of the crushum of the Mishkan.
Interesting. What is the
types of properties? Now, there are two types of properties that are considered have a tashrish of the rabbim. Either the ones where they actually gather to use it, or the ones that they use to move from place to place. So they're still conceptually tied together. Let me tell you what I'm trying to get to over here, in a somewhat disjointed way. Okay, so when we learn, I think it has to do with the question of what it means that we're learning the malachos from the Mishkan. Okay, what does it mean we're learning the malachos from the Mishkan? So it doesn't mean, I've been trying to get across is that there's somewhat of a, if you take it simply to mean that we have to mimic what they had, that's certainly not true. Right, because because if they had a roof, you wouldn't say you have to have a roof. And if they were 16 amas wide, you don't say it can't be 17 amas wide, right? But for some reason, if they would have had a roof, we could have no roof. But when they have a roof, we can't have roof, right? Because these don't have to be the same. So why is it only in one direction? So, and they were 16 amas wide, we can't be 15 amas wide, but we can be 17 amas wide, right? So, I mean, the answer is obvious. It's not a deep question. I'm just trying to highlight something. That when we say we're taking particulars from the Mishkan, where we're talking in terms of those things, in terms of how they contribute to the quality of Rabim in the place, okay. So it had the place, our place to be a Rishus Rabim must have the minimal shear of the access to the Rabim that the Mishkan had, right?
That's a degree of how much Rabim.
Yeah, it's a degree of how much quality of Rabim must be in this place. So therefore, if it had a roof, then we could have a roof. But you wouldn't need a roof, because no roof is more access than having a roof. And if there's a 16 hours wide, ours can be 17 hours wide, because that's more access. But we can't go less, right? We can't be more restrictive, because we're learning the minimal quality from there. Okay? Now, this is what I want to. Okay, so let's go back to the question on Rashi that Tosis had. Okay, that the Rashi says you need 600,000 people there, right? Rashi needs 600,000 people there, and Tosis said, yeah, but there were millions. Right? So he said, yeah, but there were millions. So then he gives a funny answer. He says, no, we just need the minion that was in the Torah. Right? We just need the minion in the Torah. That question and answer is very troubling. Right? It's very troubling. Very troubling. Go ahead. But you can't apply the same answer. Because Lemaisa, their Rishus was open to 2 million people. So now you got to say, yeah, but because the Torah counted men of a certain age, of certain tribes, and came to a number of around 600,000, that wasn't the productivity that they had. That wasn't the type of hiluch that they had. They had a much greater hiluch. Right? They had a much greater hiluch.
The Torah cared about the number for a different reason.
Right. So maybe we can answer the question like this. That the reason why we care about the way it was in the Mishkan is not because that really defines the hiluch of Rabbim. And the hiluch of 600,000 people is different than the hiluch of 500,000 people or a million people. Okay? That's not really what it is. But it's an idea that Molochos of Shabbos as a concept are related to Asiyas HaMishkan. That's a Kiyam in Shabbos. It's an idea in refraining from the Molochos of Shabbos that these are Molochos of Mishkan. Okay? It's not an accidental thing. It's not just we needed a model to find, but there's an idea that the Molochos themselves, that Molochos of Shabbos and being Shovers and Shabbos from your personal creativity should bring to mind the true creativity of Mishkan. Okay? So your refraining from your own personal activities and productivities should bring to mind the true malachas of Mishkan. Okay? I know I'm trying to say something that sounds very philosophical without saying any philosophy behind it. But if you take that premise, then it's not really a qualitatively different hiluch of 600,000. Okay? But the whole idea of having Hotzah in the first place is because it is an activity that through the Torah is, through Malachas Mishkan, is reminiscent of Mikdash. Is reminiscent of Mishkan. Okay? That's why it's taken. It's taken because of its quality of being reminiscent of Mishkan. Okay? So that's what Tosis is saying. That we're not really taking it as we're not really refraining from malacha per se, and just learning from Mishkan what malacha is. We're really refraining from malachas Mishkan, okay, and that's why we pick those. And that's the only thing is in a malacha like Hotzah. In this malacha, he's saying what associates it to Mishkan is only, therefore the number, all those qualities are only insofar as they're associated to Mishkan, insofar as they have that effect. So that's what Tosa is saying. He's saying it's true in reality there were millions of people. But once the Torah enumerates a number of Mishkan, of the Machaneh, then that is a fixed amount that's going to be the best number to associate it to Mishkan with. Since nobody knows the real number, right? We only need the number in order to reflect the idea that the Molochos are associated with Mishkan. Yeah. It's not really an innate quality. It's not a different quality if there were 600,000, if there were 2 million. So therefore, that undermines the question. The question was everything, we're learning the productivities from Mishkan. And as the Torah tells you, this was productive, then we'd have to mimic the productivity. The Torah says there were 600,000 people, but that's a productivity of 2 million. So Bizman Azeh, we should require the productivity of 2 million. So saying no. The idea of a Rishus HaRabim is a true idea, regardless of the number of people traversing it or utilizing it. That concept of Rishus HaRabim exists, regardless of Mishkan. But the idea of Rishus HaRabim and Hotzah is not in any way associated with Mishkan per se. Everything partakes of, every activity that you do is going to involve a Hotzah, practically speaking. You have to get the raw materials. You have to deliver the product. It's an amorphous thing. It doesn't relate in any of its... It's the one malacha that is no... doesn't have its own product. It's just part of every other product. You know what I mean? So how do we fix it and tie it to Mishkan as a malacha? So that's what Rashi and Tosa seem to be holding. That it needs something extra, an external thing, an external clue, an external apparatus to tie it to Mishkan. We're going to have to pick the way that the Torah... We have to pick a fixed thing that would associate it to Mishkan. That's only the expressed number in the Torah. Yeah.
Why does it need a special tie? Like reflection mirroring or anything?
Yeah, the other activities, their product itself is associated with Mishkan. But this one has no product to associate it to Mishkan. So you must go into an accidental feature to associate it to Mishkan.
So in terms of when you were talking about Ksiva,
it would seem that's why he held it has to be, because he held that that's a klal in malacha. Like you need some association to the productivity of Mishkan. The other malachos, it's the malacha itself. And there the shiur is just to know when you've done any level of productivity. Bone kol shehu is chayav. You don't have to make a Mishkan.
Why is
right?
The Mishkan?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not saying why. Good question. So that is also 16 amos. That also is 16 amos. I don't think it's qualitatively a different road if it's 15 amos or 16 amos. But we have to associate it to Mishkan. And that's why the Gemara wants to know how big was their road. Not because that is the ultimate road. Yeah. But it has to be associated to Mishkan. That's why, even if at certain places it gets a little more, it gets narrow, or it doesn't really make a difference. From a Rosh Hashanah, because you still can't say that you can't go higher, because we're now saying that the underlying idea is that going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a change. Right, or that transportation is an area that's viable for transportation is Rosh Hashanah. That's still the underlying definition of the place, right? So now you can't say that that it can't partake of that more. The minimal way it partakes of it is has to be reflected by Mishkan, but not the maximum. Yeah.
So
because it's a shear. Mm-hmm. No, it's a shear in the thing. No, it's mm-hmm. Rabim is the thing, and then there's a shear of how much.
Even though this isn't a qualitatively different road or whatever or productivity, it still is a shear.
That's right. That it's a quantitative thing. It's not a qualitative thing. So we have to. It's associated by the definition. We'll have the shear of that, but since it is itself a qualitative concept of a rishus, we never say that adding more of the shear is going to destroy the quality.
That's what I'm trying to say, though, because the thing is,
cannot. We haven't defined the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. I'm just saying, according to Rashi, why it's not contradictory to say to take 600,000 when they had millions. Okay, the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban seems to be a separate question. That in the Rishus is the definition of Rishus Rabim. It's really Rashi and on the one side, and the Ramban and Rambam also on the other side. Rashi and Tosfos, I think the Rush also agrees with Rashi, and then the Rambam and the Ramban on the other side. That seems to be a different question. That in the idea, in the quality of Rishus HaRabim, Rashi seems to hold that Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid are both positive qualities. They both have positive aspects that define them. The mechitzos define the Rishus HaYachid, and the tashmish of the Rabim defines the Rishus HaRabim. Or if you don't want to say the tashmish itself, at least the presence of the Rabim, the utilization of the Rabim. I guess tashmish is the best way to say it, right? It was according to the Rabim, so therefore the number of people is an element, and now it's quantifiable by this method of shear. Okay, but according to the Rambam, the only thing that really has a positive definition is Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaRabim has the quality of being open and accessible, but it's not qualified by the presence of Rabim. It's qualified by its accessibility to Rabim. Okay, accessibility to Rabim. You can't have a shear. There's no shear in the number of Rabim that it's accessible to. You're only going to quantify shear when it's of a thing that's actually can you express it a little better? In other words, once it's accessible to the Rabim, it's not more accessible to the Rabim by who is Lamaisa using it now. That's just a happenstance. In other words, if the definition is the presence of people, so then you can quantify how many people have to be present. If the definition is the usage of people that makes it a Rishus HaRabim, right, it's under the control of a certain amount of people, then you can quantify how many people, right? Because it's like Rishus HaRabim belongs to this group. So you say, okay, well, how many people have to be in that group, right? But if it's just a matter of the concept, the quality of being open and accessible and unhindered to the public, right? So then that's just going to be by its dimensions, right? It doesn't matter how big the nearest group of people is. It's not going to make it more or less open and accessible by how many people Lamaisa are using it.
It's not more of a box.
Right, so then you can't. There's nothing to quantify. There's nothing for the shear to grab onto. It's not going to add anything to it. It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. Right. You know, if you can define something by its actual use, so then you have to quantify the use. So if the use is by people, you have to quantify the people that are using it. But if it's defined by its potential, so then no matter how many people are using it now, it doesn't change. That's not an expression of its potential, right? So I think that's I don't know any more about the machlokas though. I mean, why does Rashi seems to be learning that the Rishus HaYachid is similar to Rishus HaRabim, and they both have to have a positive quality of use. Rishus HaYachid is used by has to express the use of the Yachid, and Rishus HaRabim is the use of the Rabim. Whereas the Rambam, we'll see when we go through Carmelis, I think you'll see a consistency that the Rambam holds that that Rishus HaRabim is just opened and accessible, and the only thing that's really positively qualified is by the presence of a qualifier is the Rishus HaYachid. I know it sounds a little double speaks, but
according to Rashi,
right. Yeah. Right. The thing is, no, it's the right way around. It's because the Rambam defines Rishus HaRabim first. Right? And then he defines Rishus HaYachid as opposed to it, as apart from it. That really is, means to say that whereas Rashi, I think, would define, no, it's according to the Rambam, you can't define Rishus HaYachid unless you define Rishus HaRabim first. It has no meaning. It has no meaning unless you define Rishus HaYachid first. So you Rishus HaRabim first. So you see that according to the Rambam, Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid are of a different sort. Okay? Now, according to Rashi, they're both positively qualified areas. So if two things are positively qualified, you can talk about one without reference to the other. Right? According to the Rambam, they're not both positively qualified areas. There's the one is the real one, and then the other one is its negation. So maybe I in a certain way, yes, you mean it's opposite?
Yeah.
I mean, right, it's true. I mean to say that there's you need to do something to break it from Rishus HaRabim. You're right. But the Rishus HaRabim is really is just an openness. And the Rishus HaYachid is a complete removal from that. But in neither one is there a neither one needs a positive presence to qualify it. It's really the absence of anything that makes it Rishus HaRabim. And the complete removal of that which makes it Rishus HaYachid. But according to Rashi, no, Rishus HaYachid is a tashrus of the Yachid, and Rishus HaRabim is a tashrus of the Rabim. Now, of course, Tashra of the Yachid has to be defined and has to be interpreted in halachic mechanisms. But essentially, they're both positive qualities. Yeah.